This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. If you can believe it, it has already actually been a month since Election Day 2014. But Democrats here in Michigan, party leaders and strategists are continuing to meet, trying to figure out just what happened to their party. It's fair to say it wasn't all bad for Democrats. Democrat Gary Peters, of course, he won the open U.S. Senate seat, and Democrats did win 7 out of 8 seats on higher education boards. But other than that, it was not too rosy. So let's try to figure out what's going on with Democrats here in Michigan. For that, we turn to the former chair of the Michigan Democratic Party, chair for almost 20 years. Welcome, Mark Brewer.
Thank you.
And Joe DeSano, Democratic strategist in Michigan. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
So first off, let's just answer this question from both of your perspectives. Mark, I want to start with you. Is Michigan becoming a red state?
No, not at all. This is a very competitive two-party state. Whether you look at, as you indicated, the education board results, or you look at polling data and so forth, there are various message and mechanical problems, I would say, with how Democrats are performing in this state. But this is a very competitive state, and Democrats can do quite well.
And I want to get into that messaging and those issues. But, Joe, same question. Is Michigan getting redder? Is it a red state?
Oh, no. I think my opinion is very similar to Mark's in that we have mechanical problems. The party is beginning to do a postmortem on what exactly happened leading up to Election Day. There are message problems, but I also think there may have been targeting problems, and that will be revealed during the reverse engineering process.
So it seems to me that there's the issue of sort of mechanics of turnout, and then there's just one of messaging and whether Democrats did poorly with that. I mean, you're both Democrats, so you're going to say, hey, things aren't that bad, but we look at data, the top 3 statewide seats for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, control of both the state house and state senate. So Mark, speaking just particularly of mechanics, what went wrong?
Well, I think we know a lot of things already in terms of data. Look, both sides now are able to monitor the absentee voter process in this state on a daily basis because the Secretary of State requires the local clerks to post all that data, and it's accessible to everybody. So on a daily basis, you know, even weeks, months before the election, you could see what was happening with the absentee voters. And what happened here was, despite all this effort to get new voters, people who didn't vote in 210 to vote this time, in fact, in the end, about 90% of the absentee voters were people who would have voted anyway. And what happened was what I would call cannibalization, that in many instances, people who were going to vote on Election Day simply voted earlier. And so it was really not a success in terms of getting those 210 non-voters.
And this is a trend that we're seeing, that every election, midterm and presidential, that more and more people are voting absentee.
It is a trend, but it's a slow trend. Michigan is still an Election Day state. We're not a vote-by-mail state. We're not an absentee voter state. It is slowly increasing over time. But we're not a Colorado or a number of other states where this is a big deal, or Oregon, where it's entirely by mail.
And some of that is by rules in Michigan that you have to either be over 60, you have to go to the office and say, oh, I get one because I'm going to be out of the state. I'm not going to be able to make it to the polls. So you know, you don't just get one.
Right. A part of it as well, though, is, you know, all this effort was made to solicit these absentee voters to get people who hadn't voted before to vote this time. But there's very little follow-up. And I'll just use my own example.
Please.
I had an absentee ballot in my hand for weeks. I got mine in early September, and I held it. I usually don't vote my absentee ballot till the week before the election. I got one contact from anybody on the Democratic progressive side of the aisle, and it was from a super PAC. So again, while there's all this effort put into getting people to, you know, send in their applications and get ballots, there seemed to me to be very little or ineffective follow-up. I think Democrats left a lot of absentee votes on the table, as they say, that end up not being voted by Election Day.
Well, I would say, you know, Mark, in the voter file, which is what we use to select voters, I'm sure would be considered a top-of-the-line Democrat and perhaps would not require that follow-up due to his past voter history. He may have a point about some of the mechanics of following up and chasing the absentee ballots. I'm not sure using himself as an individual example.
You mean
is
just being
perhaps,
the, you know, former chair of the Democratic Party?
Yeah, you're fairly well known. I mean, maybe we can leave, you know, save the 49-cent postage and not send it to Mark. But hey, there very well may be a problem. In fact, I also think there could be a problem with targeting these drop-off voters that we are expecting to turn out. Maybe it is looking to target more moderate voters voters who may identify with Democrats who actually are higher income voters. That may be an emerging target that Democrats can look at to the next midterm election in 2018.
But Joe, wasn't that what we saw from both parties this past election, that it was a very get out the vote election, all about the base rather than independents, moderates for both parties? I mean, are you saying now that maybe there needs to be a change in strategy, that Democrats went too far trying to find their base and getting that turnout and should have gone to the center a little bit?
I don't know if I would ideologically call it the center. Mm-hmm. But I do think that both parties did view this as a base election. Mm-hmm. And I think in the postmortem that the Michigan Democratic Party is going through, I think those are some of the questions that are being answered. And you know what? Those are rather fair questions.
Joe DeSano, he is a strategist in Democratic politics here in Michigan, joining us, as well as the former chair of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. So, Mark, we've been talking a little bit about strategy mechanics. Let's talk about messaging.
Well, I think this whole issue ties into what Joe just said. It's not a matter of changing the Democratic message. I think there are limits in terms of how much you can goose turnout mm-hmm. in an off-year election. I think mm-hmm. we've learned that. Mm-hmm. Everybody cites 2006, where we had 3.6 million voters. Well, that was a midterm. There was a wave against George Bush, and there was a wave against Dick DeVos that helped carry Governor Granholm to reelection. I don't think we're going to see that kind of turnout in a midterm. Mm-hmm. So Democrats need to realize that this is the electorate we've got. We can goose it a little bit, mm-hmm. perhaps, mm-hmm. but this is the electorate we've got, and we've got to talk to that electorate in a way that appeals to them. Message is not just about what you say. It's about whether it's believable, whether people think you can deliver what you say you're going to do. And I think we have a credibility problem. Our message is basically, you know, we believe in economic empowerment, helping people economically, and we think government is one of the important tools to do that. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't believe that anymore. They say, show me where Democrats have done this, where they've delivered economic benefits to us here in Michigan or nationally. We have to come up with a message about a program that we can actually deliver on. I think message is more important than mechanics when it comes to turnout. People are motivated by a Barack Obama, a Jennifer Granholm. They're motivated by the message and the messenger much more than the mechanics. And we've got to get away from and have better balance of the mechanics and the message. We need a very powerful and effective economic message to folks. And that goes again to what Joe has been talking about. There's a good part of the electorate out there, particularly non-college voters in this state, but as well as nationally, that don't believe Democrats are on their side or can deliver for them economically. But we see a decline in the blue-collar vote for Democrats. And the white vote generally.
I was going to bring this up. There was this recent piece in the New York Times titled "The Demise of the White Democratic Voter," a former longtime political reporter talking about just that, that more and more whites are voting Republican, seeing that in Michigan. Joe, how do Democrats fix this?
Well, I think Mark has it right. You have to have a credible message to them. I think you have to address the problems they have in a manner that's believable. I mean, when I work with a candidate, I always tell them that the most valuable thing that you have in politics is authenticity. So your message has to be authentic, and the message deliverer needs to be authentic. In this case, I think Democrats actually had a really authentic person at the top of the ticket, Mark Schauer. I think our failing may have been we've targeted the wrong voters, and I think we've got to spend some time dealing with our white voter problem. And that article in the New York Times absolutely had it right. I mean, we're looking at, in some places, in many races across the country, at a rate of 30-40%, or sometimes less. That's something we need to address. I think it's part of building a big coalition and making those folks feel comfortable in the party.
So we're talking again about these two different issues, sort of the targeting voters, getting Democratic voters out to the polls, and then the messaging and the candidates. Let's start there with the latter. Mark, you talked about the names like Obama, Granholm. Anyone who meets those two, whether you believe in their politics or not, can't not talk about their charisma, right? The ability to get crowds excited. Do Democrats have a problem with their candidates here in Michigan?
No, not at all. Look, you can never build a political system or political party based on having charismatic candidates all the time. We've had some very non-charismatic people elected. Look, John Engler, no paragon of charisma, John Engler, but a very effective campaigner, very effective at getting elected, obviously.
I would just look to our current governor.
Yes, our current governor as well. Joe's absolutely right.
Very fair.
So you can't always count on that. You can't wait for the charismatic person to come along. It helps, obviously, when you've got one, but you can't count on that. It's got to come back to message and program. And a lot of that, in this instance, was beyond Mark Schauer's control. A lot of that is national. Doesn't mean you can't do things in Michigan. I mean, for example, full disclosure here, I was the lawyer for this effort. Mm-hmm. There should have been a minimum wage proposal on the ballot. There could have been other things Democrats could have done that said, go to the polls, vote yourself a raise there in Michigan.
And we saw that nationally. Red states where there were minimum wage questions on the ballot, where Republicans, some did win, though, but those minimum wage ballots were approved.
There were six minimum wage and or paid leave proposals on the ballot. They all won, several of them in very red states. Yeah. And it appears, even though the data still is here tentative, that it did goose turnout a little bit. Now, if we had had that here in Michigan, might a goose turn out enough to carry Mark Schauer?
I think Democrats need to be very careful not to run around in circles with their hair on fire. I mean, there were successes on Election Day. I mean, you know, Governor Snyder did receive 275,000 votes less than he did 4 years ago.
Sure.
And Mark Schauer received 182,000 votes more than our 2010 nominee. So I think you have to start with the success and not panic. But, you know, Mark makes a good point that there could have been efforts to goose turnout in different ways. And the minimum wage effort in particular may have goosed those downscale white voters that we may have to spend a lot of time talking to.
And yet, what does that say about Democrats in general? You know, there are more registered Democrats, of course, in Michigan. This is a fact. We know this. They don't turn out. It sort of reminds me, you know, you can have a really amazing football player, the best in the country, but if you can't actually get him to the field, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, is this a fundamental problem then with Democrats who just, it takes so much, including maybe ballot proposals, incredible candidates to get them to the polls?
No, I think it deals with the times. I mean, we are in a time, and I analogized to the Gilded Age in a tweet I did last week. I mean, look at the enormous economic inequalities in this country. Most people in this country believe, and this is not just blue-collar or white voters, they believe that the political and economic system is stacked against them. That's true of all demographic groups, all races. And that is reflected in people saying, why should I bother voting? Where's the program that's going to help me in my economic situation, educate my kids, help me get out of my minimum wage job or get a raise, get health care, whatever it may be? So it's not the problem with the Democrats or the voters. I mean, that was, going back to Roosevelt. Why did Roosevelt become so popular and build an enduring coalition? Because he delivered for the people of this country. He delivered an economic program which lifted the country out of the Depression.
So, Joe, are Democrats simply just not delivering right now?
No, I think Democrats actually are delivering here in the state. I think part of the problem is there are structural things placed in the law by the Republicans, like, for example, the congressional districts. Democrats received the majority of votes for candidates for Congress in 2014. Yet, due to the gerrymandering, we only have a handful of seats. So, you know, Democrats are performing well across the state. And again, I'll go back to my previous comments. It's, we can't run around with our hair on fire. We have to identify what works and reverse engineer what doesn't work and fix it. There are structural problems. There are messaging problems. But all of it is fixable.
Well, let's talk about some fixes then.
Well, I think the first thing you do, and this is a fix that I think is not just applicable to Michigan, but everywhere, is I think you have to nationalize midterm elections. I would look at the 1994 contract with America that Newt Gingrich put forward. And what you do is create a nationwide echo chamber then of Democrats talking about poll-tested issues that resonate with voters. And that jives with what Mark was talking about as far as part of the problem of the mechanics is actually part of the messaging. I mean, this is all mixed up in a stew, and you've got to select the parts that work. And I do think that messaging is a large part of it. And I think Democrats need to take a national stand on populist issues. And then we can sell that here in Michigan quite well, because I think the electorate's ready to hear it if we say it with conviction and say it full-throated.
Well, I think we need, as I've talked about several times this morning, a real populist economic program that we can deliver on. And there has to be some elements of that that, even though we're in the minority in the legislature and don't control any statewide offices, that we can point to and deliver on. You've got to resolve redistricting in this state. And I think people of on all sides are seeing that there is a problem here. And it's not just at the congressional level. It's in the state legislature as well. Democrats took a majority of the votes for the state house, but yet they end up with 47 seats.
Lost
Democrats
seats.
Took 49%, almost 50% of the state Senate vote,
and lost
but they
seat.
Have 11 seats and a 38-member. So that needs to be done. I really do think we need campaign finance reform and lobbying reform. I mean,
absolutely.
People do believe the system is stacked against them. You got to show how you're going to unstack the system in a way that will improve their individual lives.
So give me an example of something that didn't work this year in 2014 and how that would change in the next 2 years.
I personally probably would have done more messaging to women on choice issues.
Mark, you're sort of looking tentative about that. What would you say?
No, not tentative at all. I mean, that's a very, very important issue. I think we've got to reach deep and figure out an economic program. Senator Chuck Schumer has been talking about this in the last several days. I disagree with him in terms of he basically sounds like he's saying we should not have passed the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. He's wrong on that. But he's right in saying Democrats missed an opportunity when we controlled the Congress, both houses and the presidency, to not do more economically for the people of this country. And that would still be paying benefits today if we had done that.
Going back to the economy, Steve.
The economy.
Well, and Democrats have to be bolder. There is a tentative streak where Democrats feel that they have to present both sides of arguments. I'm sorry, Democrats listening, you don't. You have to present your argument persuasively, and I believe that a message that is populist would have been much more successful here in the state and in the future. So Democrats need to be bold, not tentative, and they should have embraced the Affordable Care Act.
Well, and there were some who said, look at Michigan as an example. You have Gary Peters, the only new freshman Democratic senator in the entire country, had President Obama come and campaign with him, whereas other senators going, no, don't come visit us. And there are some strategists who will say, no, absolutely, you should have talked up the president and National Democrats.
And I would say this, you know, he's the only non-incumbent Democrat elected senator in 2014.
Democrats made a real mistake after passing the Affordable Care Act by basically running away from it for the last 4 years and letting the Republicans demagogue about what it's not. And that's a terrible situation. And it hurt us electorally this time. Democrats need to be bold. Too many times Republicans accuse us of class warfare. We didn't start the class warfare in this country. It's not Democrats. Fault for pointing out the enormous income inequality in this country and how people are suffering economically in this country. We didn't initiate the class warfare. We've got to come up with an answer that helps the vast majority of these people in the country who have suffered because of that.
So an economic strategy and messaging. And then finally here in the last few moments, one of the things we were talking about, better targeting voters, the actual mechanics. Mark, let's start with you. How does that need to be fixed for Democrats and, you know, before the next 2 years, before the next election?
Well, I think basically if you fine tune some of the things that were done this time, look, this AV app that was put out. Great idea.
The absentee voter.
Great idea. Wasn't ready for prime time. Had a lot of glitches, had a lot of problems in terms of people trying to use it and so forth. And that can appeal to a certain part of the electorate. I think you continue to work on trying to make it easier to vote absentee and so forth. But I come back to message. I think it's critically important that we have the right message. And that way, when you go door to door and you make a phone call and you reach out to people, it resonates with them and gives them a reason to vote. Simply contacting them and say, here's an absentee ballot, is not going to motivate them to vote. We've got to have a good economic program and a good economic message.
Mark Brewer, former chair of the Michigan Democratic Party for almost 20 years. In fact, you were the longest serving chair in the entire country, right?
At one time I was.
And Joe DeSano, Democratic strategist. Thanks so much.
Thank you.